It's the Who's On First Baseball Show with the coach, Carl DeMasi, and the baseball fanatic, Kyle Lawson.
The fellow's name on first base.
Who?
The guy on first base.
Who is on first?
Talking all things baseball on the Coach's Corner Sports Network.
I'm not asking you who's on second.
Who's on first?
I don't know. Third base.
And here we are, the coach and the baseball fanatic.
What's up, sports fans? You're listening to the Who's On First Base Baseball Podcast with the coach, Carl DeMasi, and of course, my good buddy, the baseball fanatic, Kyle Lawson. We're here every week, every Wednesday. We'll be getting that podcast posted up because it's all part of the Coach's Corner Sports Network, and we're glad to be part of it. So once again, it's episode number 5. We're into our 5th show, Kyle. You know, we did 4 years straight on the radio, okay? And now we're doing it on the internets through the Coach's Corner Sports Network. Got to thank John Henderson for letting us do this. Once again, let's play ball. What's up, Kyle?
Oh, good to see you, Coach. How was your day going today?
Like every day as being an athletic director, you know, something different every day that you got to deal with. How about yours?
Oh, not too bad. Me and my wonderful girlfriend, Angela, we actually watched a lot of Jeopardy today on Netflix. She was off of work, and so we did that, and we went around beautiful Forsyth Park, took our little beagle for a walk. Been a heck of a day, but I'm excited to talk a little ball with you because Cubs are playing the Mets tonight and the Bravos are playing the Yankees. And I got a lot of baseball to watch, so we got to talk fast.
Hey, you got to deal with the New Yorkers, buddy.
Ugh, don't get me started on them. But I would like a nice Italian sub. I'm thinking about it. I got to go over to Rocky's and get a sandwich.
Hey, you got to visit Rocky's New York Deli and Italian catering store. You want to get some New York food? He might throw you some little Chicago stuff in there, too, if you ask him. He might be able to dish that up for you.
Might be able to whip me up an Italian beef? That would be amazing.
Well, we call it, I forget what he calls it, but yeah, he's got something like that in his deli. Yeah, you can get that there, too.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm going for a straight-up Italian sandwich. I want all the meats and cheeses to mingle together. As you can tell, I'm really hungry right now.
I hear you. All right, so let's get into what we're going to talk about tonight. We're going to start it off with, of course, around the horn. That's right. We're going to throw it around the horn. We're going to talk about what's happening in the National League and the American League. Then we're going to get into a little bit of Braves focus like we do every week. Then we'll go into inning number 3. We got some news about some local players. And then number 4 is we got to do a little trivia contest. Right now, the Fanatic is up two wins to 1 loss and 1 tie. So,
of course, a tie.
Then I got to go. I'm 1 win, 2 losses, and 1 tie. But anyway, Savannah Bananas, we will have someone on next week. A little tough getting someone to come on. And once again, don't forget the Bananas open up May 27th against the Macon Bacon. Can't wait till that happens. So we'll have somebody here next week for the Bananas. All right, let's kick it off. Let's go around the horn. Let's start off. Let's hit first base because we got to touch all 4 bases. How about the surprising teams in first place, Kyle? I know we got 162 and you're waiting for the 40-day period to end, but I'm telling you right now, some teams are really surprising. We didn't pick them. I know we didn't have these teams in first place.
Oh, no. No way. And I got to tell you, okay, a little surprising. I want to start with the NL Central, a team that is sort of rebuilding on the fly right now because that division is a mess. My Cubs are struggling like you would not believe. They can't hit the ball right now. Milwaukee is having their pitching woes. It's the Cincinnati Reds, the Red Legs. They're out to this unbelievable start right now. They're 9-6 right now, which for that division is actually surprisingly good because everybody else is pretty well, you know, under 500 right now. I always look at things, Coach, and I say, don't look at a team's record until you got 40 games in. It's a fun start for the Reds, good for their fans. They can't keep it up, but I'm telling you, 85 to 88 wins is going to win that division because that thing's a mess.
Well, you know, I'm impressed. I mean, like you said, they're off to a 9-6 start. They got a half-game lead on the Brewers. Okay, so, but it's phenomenal. I mean, they're producing runs left and right. Their slugging percentage as a team is .470. I mean, when was the last time that happened? I mean, it's just like unbelievable, You know, there's a bunch of no-name guys, which you could probably get those names out easier than I can. And their pitching staff is not that bad either.
No, it's really not a bad pitching staff at all, what they were able to hold on to. They're keeping them in the games, but it's the bats that's really doing the work. for the Red Legs right now. And we'll see as they get into more interdivisional matchups. But they're a fun team to watch. I still don't think they're going to have the legs to get through a season. Thank goodness they get to play against teams like the Pirates right now. But then again, they gave my Cubbies, you know, just more than we can handle, because we couldn't hit water if we fell out of a boat right now. But, you know, fun start for them. What I want to do is go to the American League right now. Look at the West, a surprising young Seattle Mariners team. They have one of the best farm systems in baseball right now. They're off to a brief lead. You know, let them enjoy it for a little bit. I still don't believe, you know, like we're talking about the Reds here, but this is a team on the rise right now. You know, they had Rookie of the Year in Kyle Lewis last year, right now dealing with some, you know, a little bit of an injury bug right now. But, you know, he's going to be fine. And, I mean, that's going to be a fun ball club. I still think the Angels and the A's are the class of that division.
Well, you know, we got to see what happens. I mean, you're dealing with a lot of youth out there, or Ute out there in Seattle. But I'm telling you right now, they're 11-6. They got a game and a half lead on the Angels. I mean, this is what I found interesting. When was their last playoff victory without cheating?
Oh, my. Oh, my gosh. We're talking Mariners here. Okay. Oh, my gosh. They still have the longest drought in baseball history from getting back to the postseason. So we'll see. I think it's going to come in a few years. This is just a nice little fun thing for the, you know, their fans up in, you know, it's been 20 years. I mean,
20 years.
That's ridiculous.
What broke my heart is it was against the Yankees.
Not even Griffey days. He was already in Cincinnati. My bad.
Right, and it was against the Yankees, and Don Mattingly never got to get into a World Series. One of the greatest.
He was so close. Donnie Baseball hung it up at 95. After struggling with all those really bad Yankee teams you had to watch in the 80s, let me tell you. Damn
bad,
it.
Bad. Better than watching the Mets, okay? So let's go on. All right.
Don't get me
so
started on
them. Let's swing it back to the we got to go to the Central. I mean, you got to go with Kansas City. I mean,
yeah, there's another team. Did not see that coming at all. And there, I mean, honestly, all the early teams that are jumping out here are not going to be the teams that are going to win the divisions, but they are going to cause a lot of trouble in those divisions. I'll tell you that right now. Kansas City, another team that's sort of like the Cincinnati Reds, kind of on a rebuild right now. And I still say the Twins and the White Sox are just the class of that division. They're going to find a way to win. Good for KC holding on for a little bit. And Whit Merrifield's, you know, a really fun player to watch right now. But, yeah, I mean, I don't see it hanging in there right now. What I want to talk about real quick, I want to
No. I don't want to talk about the Red Sox. No, I'm not going there. I don't want to talk about the Red Sox.
No. Well, okay, I'm not talking about the Red Sox, your beloved Red Sox.
You're talking about the last place Yankees?
I'm talking about the worst start in over two decades. My God. That team is looking rough, and they're taking on the Bravos this week. But I still don't put any, you know, there's so much talent on that ball club. Don't look into it. Yeah, surprise starts. It's fun to see. Let's look at it in 40 games.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I mean, the Red Sox, like I said, they're also off to an 11-6 start. They got a two-game lead on Tampa Bay. We thought the Red Sox would just get ahead of the Baltimore Orioles. The Orioles started out hot, but they cooled off. And right now the Yankees, 5-9, and there's a lot of woes. And, you know, they're thinking about, is Aaron Boone the right manager for this team? So we're gonna find out what's going on. I mean, you got to bring back Luke Voit. I mean, that was, I don't know why they didn't start with him. But, you know, we had to give the man that just chipped, who just retired yesterday for the Yankees, been around forever, Bruce, okay?
Yeah, Jay Bruce, 319 home runs, hangs it up. Had a few good years, latter part of his career. Most people remember him playing for the Cincinnati Reds. Really contributed right there. I'm not too worried about it. I don't think Aaron Boone is a bad manager.
No, he's
but
not.
The New York media is going to crush him. That's just is what it is. But it's 15 games, coach. Get out of here.
I hear you, buddy. I hear you. Okay, so let's go a little now. Let's go to second base. We're going to get to the second base right now as we go around the horn. Are you surprised at the attendance right now?
No, I'm happy to see the fans in the stadiums right now. I'm just happy to see it. And I know it's different with different, you know, different requirements for each state. The Braves are hanging in there right there at 10, averaging, I think, 10,345 a game. And surprisingly, the Yankees are quite low. I know the Cubbies are sitting around about 9,000. But, I mean, it's going from – you're looking at, you know, about 15,000 at the very top, going all the way down to, you know, the 6,000 and 7,000 range. You know, hopefully that is going to change. I'm – rather than just looking at the number, Coach, I'm just glad to see fans in the stands. I mean, I'm hoping I can get to a game, whether it's, you know, head up to Atlanta or I can get back to my – you know, my happy hunting grounds of Wrigley Field, my friendly confines. I just want to watch baseball again. So, I mean, just seeing the fans and not hearing that artificial noise, it's been a lot of fun.
Well, you know, of course, let's go to Texas where they opened it up. They're already
Globe Life is hopping right now.
They're
almost
at 240,000 fans, and most of them are at the home game. So they have 240,000 at home.
Well, of course, that's where they hosted the World Series last year. I know Texas has certainly opened up for as far as COVID regulations, but it's been handled really well, I think. You look at the pod system that most of these stadiums have, they're trying to do this, you know, this is, you know, a ticketless system. I mean, literally you are scanning this on your phone. You're assigned to a certain area. The safety is the most important thing, but as people get this vaccine that, you know, whatever vaccine's coming through, I'm getting my second one on Thursday. I'm going to be thrilled about that, you know, so I can actually travel and go watch a ball game.
Well,
you know,
I mean, this old guy's already got his. I already got mine.
That's my boy. That's what I want to hear. But yeah, it's just fun to see fans in the stands. I'm not surprised by the attendance. You know, a lot of people are still coming out. I know a lot of people are still being cautious. I wouldn't read too much into that, though.
Well, you know, we'll see what happens. And I just hope the fans do come back when they open up the gates even more. Yes,
no matter
if there's 10,000, no matter if there's 7,000, if there's 25,000, it's great to hear the noise in the ballpark. It's great to see the people in the stands. We don't have to look at cardboard cutouts anymore. So that's what matters. But some people are hoping that this might be the sign that baseball might be losing interest because of what happened last year. So because they couldn't come to agreement, they couldn't say, hey, let's play a certain amount of games. We got to drag it out, but we'll see what comes back.
You're going to see the fans that are true baseball fans that will come back. It's incumbent on Major League Baseball to do everything they can to get every demographic and every age group to be interested in baseball again. The fans that love baseball will come back, but try to attract new fans. That's going to be difficult right now, but I think it will happen at some point. I have no idea how it's going to happen. I'm just glad to see people in the stands. I know I'm a broken record right now. I don't know what else to tell you, Coach.
Hot dog, get your hot dog, beer here. I mean, the sounds of baseball, you got to love it, okay? All right.
I really like a hot dog right now.
Yeah, me too. You're listening to the Who's on First Base podcast with the coach, Carl DeBassi, and the baseball fanatic, Kyle Lawson. And it's all part of the Coach's Corner Sports Network. Okay, we're headed to third base now. I mean, what's up with the no-hitters? What's up with no-hitters?
But
more specifically, perfect games. How close did these two guys get this season?
This is how hard it is to throw a perfect game in baseball. I thank the good Lord I was able to actually see one in my lifetime.
I saw two.
Yeah, there you go. All right, first off, who did you see? I'll tell you who I saw.
Okay. First of all, the big guy that loved Babe Ruth for the Yankees. What was his name?
David Wells.
And who came back the next
Boomer?
Year? Who came back next year and did it a year later was a big Met pitcher, but he did it for
David
the Yankees.
David Cohn.
Yep.
Yeah.
I watched
both
of them.
It was on Yogi Berra Day.
I watched both of them. It was unbelievable that – I mean, it happened almost a year apart. I mean, it's only been 23 perfect games. And the Yankees got three of them. Who was the first one?
Ooh, the very first perfect game in baseball history.
No. Three Yankees have perfect
Yankees.
Games. Who's the first guy to do it?
Ooh, okay. Oh, man. Oh, Don Larson.
There you go.
Yeah, Don Larson. He struck out Dale Mitchell in the 1956 World Series. And that guy had a losing record during the year.
Who was the catcher?
Yogi Berra.
No, yeah, you got it. There's old deja vu.
Of course I got it.
It was deja vu all over again.
Deja vu all over again. As Yogi Berra once said to the mayor of New York, when he talked to his wife. What did he say? After she complimented him on his nice summer suit. Thanks. You don't look so hot yourself.
I love the one, you know, when you come to the fork in the road, what do?
Turn.
Pick it up. That's a yogiism.
I didn't even know that one. So, there's a million of them.
So let's talk about it. You know, we had Carlos Rodon. We had Joe Musgrove. Both came close. And what did they do? They hit somebody.
Yeah, it was crazy. I mean, but that's how tough it is. I mean, that Rodon one, I really thought, okay, so I'm the minute I get a no-hitter update, I flip over to whatever game I'm watching. I got to watch this. So we're through seven. He's throwing it there for the Sox. You want to talk about a long road for that guy? He was the first. He was, you know, one of the top, you know, players in the Sox system, you know, and he was come up supposed to be just an absolute stud. He was draft pick of the Sox. He goes out there and, you know, I mean, he really struggled. He got pushed to the bullpen and he finally gets a chance to start. He's back in the rotation for a team that is really contending this year in the AL Central. He goes out there and throws a no-no. I mean, you know, hopefully the kid has it. He's finally figured it out. But I remember watching and I'm like, that is going to hit him. He's going inside on that. He's trying to throw a breaking ball and that thing did not break. He hit, I mean, he smacked him good, got him right on the arm. There you go. But he settled down and he threw a no-no. There's no more great, you know, that's my favorite thing in baseball is watching a guy throw a no-hitter.
323 of them. Okay, just to let you go, just to help you out here, I know you're wondering who threw the first one. We got to go back. We got to go back to 1880, June 12th, 1880. Lee Richmond of the Woosters. All right.
The Worcester Ruby Legs?
Now, well, they were called the Woosters back then, too. The Woosters. But they were called the Ruby Legs, okay? They beat the Cleveland Blues, okay? Then 5 days later, John Montgomery Ward of the Providence Grays against the Buffalo Bisons did it 5 days later. So, and then we had to wait another 23 years till Cy Young finally did it for the Boston Americans against the Philadelphia Athletics. So, and then when's the last time we had a perfect game?
Ooh, man, the last perfect game we had? Oh, boy.
The King. Seattle Mariners.
Okay. Oh, Randy Johnson. No, King Felix. King Felix. I am losing my mind.
Who signed with the Braves, but we never saw him pitch for the Braves. Yeah. Felix Hernandez, King Hernandez did it in 2012. Okay.
And that poor guy never made the playoffs.
Against Tampa Bay Rays.
I just thought of something. Now, this is straight up nerd baseball reference stuff. So the Worcester Ruby Legs changed their name in 1883 and moved to what city that currently resides in the NL East?
Oh, man.
Oh, you'll never get this one.
Do it. It's not Washington. No. It's not Atlanta. Nope. It's let's say they were the original. They moved to New York and were the New York Giants.
Nope. Philadelphia Phillies, 1883.
I was going to think about that. I was going to think about Mr. McGraw right there. So, all right.
Muggsy McGraw. I'm sorry. I had to. We got plenty of time in this show. I had to tell you that.
All right. So,
continue.
Now, the last one coming home. Okay. We're coming home. We're sliding in cleats up high. Who used to do that all the time? Georgia Peach, baby.
Oh, Ty Cobb. Now we're talking about stuff.
So MLB stats, Major League stats. I know we only got about 13, 14 games in. What's surprising me is an old Savannah Sandnet played for the New York Mets farm team when he was in Savannah. I interviewed him. I had him as a player a week. Brandon Nimmo is batting .447.
Yeah, he has gotten off to an unbelievable start, and I'm not terribly surprised. The Mets have come out of the gate. They're currently first. They got a three-game lead going into the game tonight against Chicago. And Nimmo, funny enough, I actually have his jersey. I have his old number 9 Savannah Sandnats jersey from years ago.
Nice.
And, yeah, that kid is off to a great start. I know he was a highly touted prospect for the Mets. They're actually a really fun team to watch right now.
You know, we're talking about being nerdy. There's a kid that didn't play high school baseball.
No, he didn't.
All he did was play Legion ball, gets drafted high. Hey, the Mets must have knew something when they drafted him, so that's pretty exciting. So, of course,
leave
we got
to
talk,
the scouts, man.
We're going to talk more about Acuña when we get to the Braves focus. But, hey, second in batting, first in home runs. What more could this kid do for the Atlanta Braves? Third in runs batted in, okay? Number one in hits. I mean, the kid almost leads every category. Oh.
He's your player of the week, Coach. Ronald Acuña Jr. is everything advertised. We've been talking about him for over 3.5 years that he is going to be the next great bat, the next five-tool guy for the Atlanta Braves.
He has delivered. You got to save it for the next segment. So don't.
No, I'm just answering your question. I got plenty of Acuña talk for you.
And how about Mr. Bieber for the Cleveland Indians? What record did he tie? And who did he tie?
Oh, man, this was the first time in modern history. It hasn't happened since 1893, I'll tell you that.
Wrong, buddy.
Oh, come on.
Nolan Ryan.
Okay. That's the last time it's happened. But, yeah, 4 starts at 10 straight Ks for a Cleveland team still hanging in there, reigning Cy Young winner. This kid's unbelievable.
Just a great ratio right there. But, you know, we got to give, Jacob DeGrom.
Cut that out if you want. I don't care.
Yeah, Jacob DeGrom only has a 0.45. No, we're not going to cut it out. I mean, this is what it's all about, podcast, buddy. Okay.
I know. I said that as a joke. Let it fly.
Okay. Just like the dog barking. We couldn't cut your sweet little dog out.
Oh, no. My beagle's doing fine, by the way.
Okay. Yeah, so. Jacob DeGrom, you think this could last? Could he be lower than Bob Gibson's record?
Nobody will ever be in this day of baseball right now. I don't think it's going to happen, even though everything is wildly, teams are struggling to hit as a collective whole in Major League Baseball. It is unbelievably hard. You can't sustain that, but his success will be sustained. He's going to end up having an unbelievable year. It'll be another Cy Young, year. I mean, I think my Cubbies have to face him down the line here. In the next couple of days here, we get rolling pretty soon. But, I don't think nobody can keep up that pace. I mean, that's 1968 was the year of the pitcher. I don't think that'll ever happen again.
It'll never happen again. Okay, let's cut it right here. Once again, you're listening to the Who's On First Baseball Podcast with the coach, Carl Demasi, and, of course, the fanatic, Kyle Lawson, all part of the Coach's Corner Sports Network. Remember, Coach's Corner has 5 shows on. We got, of course, tonight we got Rubbin' and Grubbin' at 6 o'clock. Brandon Bain talking about all about NASCAR, rubbing and grubbing. He talks about cars rubbing, and he gets free food grubbing from John. Okay, then, of course, you got the coach at AD. And then, of course, we should be on at 7 o'clock, but we'll see what happens. Then we'll come back Saturday morning, 9 o'clock, and then 2 podcasts. Okay, we got the Hot Grits podcast with Spencer Maddox and Travis Dodon. And then, of course, right here, yours truly, Who's On First Base Baseball Podcast with the coach and baseball fanatic. All right, quickly, we went long on that one, buddy. Let's go to the Braves.
We did. My bad. That's on me.
We can make this short and sweet. Acuña. I mean, the Braves started out floundering in last place, but they're moving back up in the standings. So, everybody's getting worried because the Braves fans always freak out. But, Acuña getting that abdominal strain, does hurt.
Well, he did. And honestly, thank goodness we got some really good news about Acuña. It looks like it's just a minor strain. He's going to be ready to go for this week's series, as they take on the Yankees, and it's going to be okay. Now, I mean, I saw when it happened because, of course, I'm watching it. They had a big series against the Cubs. They take 2 out of 3, big series win for them. A lot of peculiar games. I mean, there was one game where the Cubs just dominated on Saturday, and the Braves came back and beat them by the same score of 13-4 on Sunday. Now, Ronald Acuña goes into first. He goes back in simple, as he's trying to lead off first. He felt a little twinge. He stayed in the game. They pulled him out for, just precautions. And Brian Snitker just said, hey, we're going to have to wait till tomorrow and see what happens. So he got an MRI in Chicago, and it came out to just be a minor abdominal strain. He's going to be fine. I mean, I know there is a couple of injury issues with the Braves right now. Max Fried, who's really struggling his last 2 starts, I'll tell you that.
All right, before you get to the pitching woes, just so the people know, Acuña leads almost every category for the Braves. 419 batting average, 7 home runs, 16 RBI, 486 on-base percentage, and he leads the team with 26 hits. Not too shabby for that young man, not too shabby. And the next
call that man the franchise right now, for all I care.
Oh, yeah. So, all right. So let's go to the pitching woes now.
Okay. So right now we got a couple of big injuries right now. Of course, you got, you know, Sean Newcomb. You know, he's a little bit banged up right now. Max Freedy's got a hammy. Brian Snitker came out over the weekend, said probably one start. You know, so, of course, you see Bryce Wilson come up and get an opportunity to throw over the weekend. Now, Chris Martin, he's got some shoulder inflammation. That's going to keep him out for a while. He's a big piece in the bullpen. And hopefully, they're hoping he should be able to start doing some long toss and some throwing maybe over at the alternate site right now. But, yeah, so a little bit of pitching woes right there. And, of course, Ender Inciarte goes to the IL right now. And, of course, you know, big piece. He's basically the Braves' fourth outfielder with Christian Pache out there in center.
All right. Well, you know, you also got to, you know, got to think about it. Your leading win pitcher, your pitcher that's leading in wins is Josh Tomlin with two. So we got to hope that turns around. Of course, Charlie Morton's going to go tonight. He's 1-1. Sorry, let me take it back. Of course, you're going to count on Charlie Morton to be a big help now that everybody else is getting hurt. So we'll see what happens, and we'll go from there, okay? All right, so last one, and I know this is going to break your heart, but did Heredia a great pickup? Didn't he have a game against your Cubbies?
Oh, it was unbelievable over the weekend. I mean, you look at him. He's got six RBIs. He had his first career grand slam. He hits two bombs. That was one of the worst first innings I have ever seen from Kyle Hendricks since he came up with the Cubs. He's normally called the professor, very cerebral pitcher. Yeah. You know, but if he can't locate that changeup, look out. That's a flat pitch. That's going a long way over them bleachers. I'll tell you that. Four home runs in the first inning, and that was a day that Guillermo Heredia will never forget. And, yeah, it was just one heck of a game. And congratulations to Guillermo. He played great. I mean, he took advantage of a lot of mistakes from Cub pitching.
I mean, it's just unbelievable what he's doing with the Braves. I mean, he's you know, played four games, 11 at-bats, three hits, two of them home runs, six RBIs. I mean, he struck out five times, but you know what? We'll take what he did. If he could do it consistently.
That's modern baseball, man. You're going to strike out.
Oh, yeah. So. Well, hopefully he can do something that like he did the other night with the Cubs, and he gets a chance to play. So, all right. So the last thing I got to say about the Braves, okay, bullpen. We got any help coming in sight, or we're just going to try and do it by committee and find out who's going to be the closer?
I think you're just going to kind of wing it at this point right now. I mean, they're getting started against the, you know, a really struggling Yankee ball club coming up this week. And, I mean, I don't see anybody else being called up from the alternate side, at least for today. But, I mean, there's plenty of guys right now that could get a look, you know, coming up from that, you know, alternate site. Of course, they're playing in New York this week. I mean, I think Snit's just going to have to wing it right now. I don't really know what else they can do with some of the injury woes we have right now.
So, all right. So, once again, Braves fans, they're 7-9. They're sitting right there in the middle of the pack. It's early. The Mets haven't played as many games as everybody else. That's why, if you ask me, they're in first place. So we'll go from there. All right. So we're going to the third inning now. We usually bring on a bananas guest, but this week, tough getting a bananas guest. Me being very busy. And
at third or fourth inning, it really doesn't matter.
Yeah, we'll get it. So we're in the third inning, buddy. We're in the third
inning. Third inning. All right. Cut that. I'm an idiot.
Okay. So once again, so let's start it off right. We had the intro and around the horn. That's inning one. Okay, then we did Braves Focus, inning two. Now Braves three. We're going to talk about some of the local players that we can find some information on that have a shot or are. Let's start off with the only guy that's in the big leagues, J.B. Wendelken, pitching for the Oakland Athletics.
That's right. I mean, J.B. right now, local Savannah area guy, you know, and he has been one of Bob Melvin's main guys to come out of that bullpen. He's already pitched 10 games already. He's got a 3.52 ERA, 10 Ks, and he's already thrown 7 2/3 innings. So he's already, you know, he's picking up kind of where he left off. You know, he was on that playoff team that the Oakland Athletics had last year. So great job for him. Really, I mean, it's tough to, you know, stay up to watch some of the games here being on the East Coast. But I'm glad to see that he's doing so well and glad that he's, you know, a really good middle reliever type of stopper guy for Bob Melvin and the Oakland Athletics.
All right, let's go with the other guy from South Effingham High School. You know, the old guy, he's 34 years old. He's 34 already. I can't believe it. Josh Reddick.
Yeah, he's unbelievable.
We talked about it last week. He signed with the Diamondbacks. Now, if he makes the big league club, He's going to get $750K. Not too shabby. Right now, he's in the alternate site. Do you see him coming up soon?
Yeah, I mean, I think you are going to see Josh Reddick, you know, World Series champion. He's been to a couple of World Series, you know, I really think, you know, you're going to see, you know, for some outfield depth with the Diamondbacks, you're going to see him at some point. He got sent out. He goes out to, and I can never remember, Salt River Flats. He goes out to the alternate site for the Diamondbacks right now. Basically, you know, you're playing with your 40-man guys, your AAA guys for the first month right now. He's going to come up as a fourth outfielder. And, yeah, he will definitely earn that money. I'm just glad to see a 12-year veteran still able to go out there, earn the money. And, I mean, he's done a lot for his community out in Effingham County. I'm so glad the Diamondbacks picked him up. Heck of a nice guy.
All right, and we got to talk about the other. We got to now talk about another school that has two guys toying around in the majors and minors, and that's Tyler Bashley. He's got some. He's got some cup of coffees in the big show. The Mets released him. The Pirates picked him up. The Pirates then reassigned him, then let him go, and then he said, "Let me stay around." So he's back on at the alternate site. So tell us about Tyler Bashley.
Tyler Bashley had a few appearances last year. I believe 8 with Pittsburgh, He has decided he wanted to come back for a team rebuilding. I mean, I actually think it's a pretty good situation for him. He comes in there, you know, for a team that's doing basically a full rebuild. So let's see if he can go to the alternate site, work on some of his pitches, and actually see some time with the big league club. I mean, I see no reason why if he, you know, doesn't have his struggles that he wouldn't be a 40-man guy coming up in September. So, you know, glad to see that he stuck around. You know, I saw he got released, you know, back in, you know, earlier this month, but, you know, it just good for him. I'm just glad he stuck with a ball club and just another local guy that we definitely want to see stick in the majors.
Well, when you can throw 98-99, it keeps you around a little time there.
He's,
you know,
got some gas, man. He can throw.
So, all right. I know this makes you happy. This young man went from the Myrtle Beach Pelicans, is now going to the Tennessee Smokies at a Calvary Day School at a UGA, Ryan Lawler. And he was the closer last year for the Smokies, wasn't he?
Yeah, he had a little bit of time as a closer for the Smokies. Now, they realign the minor league system right now. So South Bend is actually the high A team. The Pelicans go down to low A, but that happened a lot. We'll get into a minor league show at some point about all the crazy realignment. Great to see him at the best proving ground, I think, in the major leagues, and that is double A. Let's see what he can do. He was reassigned there. He didn't have a spring training, you know, start with the big club at all. He was straight up in minor league camp. So he's going to go to wonderful Kodak, Tennessee, you know, right outside Sevierville and Knoxville, Tennessee, where my grandparents were from, and pitching that beautiful stadium. And, you know, I hope he does really well. I'm just glad that the Cubs took a chance on him, and let's see what he can do in Double A.
All right. Well, there's our four local guys that are toying around with the major leagues. One guy is in the major leagues. J.B. Wendelken out of South Effingham High School, pitching for the Oakland Athletics. Josh Reddick getting picked up by the Arizona Diamondbacks, 34 years old, 12 years in the major leagues. Got himself some bling, so he's doing well. And, of course, Tyler Bashley and Ryan Lawler trying to make it there at a Calvary Day School with their respective teams, the Pirates and the Cubbies. All right. You're listening to the Who's on First Base baseball podcast. It's the coach, Carl DeMasi, with the baseball fanatic, Kyle Lawson. And as we end every show, we got to go to a little baseball trivia. But if you listen to some parts of the show, we're throwing out a lot of baseball trivia because that's all we do. We both eat, sleep, and read baseball. So once again, this is episode 5. The fanatic leads the trivia contest, 2 wins to 1 loss and 1 tie. So right now, I kicked it off last week. You're going to kick it off this week. We start with you first this week. So, all right, this is the first inning. We play 3 innings and we have a tiebreaker. We have to go there. All right, since we talked all about this home run stuff, okay, I like the dingers. Okay, I like the bombs, the blast, and it ain't coming back, okay? So here you go. We'll start behind the dish. Who is the all-time home run leader among catchers in baseball history?
Ooh, okay. Man alive. Okay. Among catchers. Oh, that's a tough one. And you're talking about a guy who played his entire career behind the dish.
Yep. Now, the source I got, they give these guys the credit for catching behind a dish. or hitting the most home runs as classified at their position. So this guy's a catcher.
Oh, man. Okay. I'm stuck between two names. I'm just going to throw one out there. Pudge Rodriguez.
Oh, not even close, buddy.
Is it Johnny Bench?
Not even close. He's second.
Oh, my gosh.
This guy was Tommy Lasorda's pride.
Oh, Roy Campanella. Daggone it. Okay.
Nope. Played for the Mets. The Dodgers and the Mets.
Okay, you said Tommy Lasorda threw me off.
That's his uncle. That's who got him into Major
League. Oh, Mike Piazza. Daggone it. Okay. You got me. I'm an idiot.
Piazza,
right, you got me.
Hit 427 career home runs, is the only catcher, this is good trivia, is the only catcher in the 400 club.
I'm not surprised by that.
Johnny Bench came close, missed by 11, 389.
Ah, Christ.
All right. So the donut goes up on the scoreboard.
Got a big goose egg. All right. I'm going back to hallowed antiquity here for baseball stats. Babe Ruth hit his first home run against what major league team? This happened in 1914.
He was with the Boston Red Sox when he did it, and he probably did it against the New York Yankees.
1-0, coach.
You make it easy for me. You make it easy for me. Everything's related to the Yankees. That's why I don't throw Cubs stuff at you.
Yeah, that's fair. No, I just thought that was a good question. Fine, you got me.
But I'm I am a Babe Ruth fanatic, okay? I can tell you how many hot dogs he ate when he got sick, 28. I don't know why the man ate 28 hot dogs, but he did do that. And they rushed him to the hospital.
I'll tell you why, he was hungry. What you got for me next? I'm already mad. Come on.
I'm staying with home runs. Who's the all-time home run leader among first baseman.
Ooh, first baseman. Yeah, I know. Dead air is not good for a podcast, but I am thinking.
I mean, you watched it all day long. You're in Jeopardy,
buddy. Don't ruin Jeopardy for me. They sure as heck didn't ask that. So, oh, my gosh.
Still active.
Still active. Oh, Albert Pujols.
There you go. There you go.
So yeah, the machine.
Do I give you half a run?
No, you give me a full run.
Okay, I'll give you a full run. All right, bottom of the second. Let's go.
Okay, who was the first reliever elected to the Hall of Fame? Who was the first reliever elected to the Hall of Fame? There are some good choices, and I will give you none of them.
My hands are here. I'm not hitting the phone or the computer, so I'm not cheating.
No, I trust you. That's the whole point of this.
I'm going to go with the handlebar mustache of Raleigh Fingers.
You would be almost right. He was the second. He was the knuckleballer, Hoyt Wilhelm.
Hoyt Wilhelm. He was a reliever?
Yeah. He started off his career with the New York Giants in the late 40s. And he developed that knuckleball pitch, and he pitched for God knows how many teams after that.
Right. Okay.
I think Baltimore, the Cubs, the Astros, who the heck knows? He pitched for 25 years because he could float that ball in there. All right, so one to one. We got ourselves a burner here.
The third inning. Going to stick with home runs, baby. And it's the third inning, so why not go with who is the all-time home run leader among the hot corner players, the third baseman?
Ooh, third baseman. Give me a second. I gotta go back on this one. Mike Schmidt.
Oh, man, you got it. 548 for Mike Schmidt. And who is second? Eddie Matthews for the Atlanta Braves, 512. 512.
That is impressive. I met Eddie Matthews once. Heck of a nice guy.
There you go. You're up 2-1. This could clinch. This is the game winner.
All right. So 2-1. Finally, who has the most base hits in a single season? Now, this was a long-time record. This record had been going back. I mean, we're talking the teens here.
I got to go with the Georgia Peach. I got to go with Ty Cobb. But it's probably Honus Wagner. Ty Cobb. That's my final answer.
Okay. No, that's a very good guess. Now, it was broken by the George Sisler. George Sisler originally had the record with the St. Louis Browns, right, a team that never, you know, made it in. Ichiro, 2004, 252 hits. And that is ball game, sir.
And he pulls that one out of his banana for that one.
Out of my banana. There you go. As you're rocking a banana, you can't see that, but he's wearing a pretty darn good banana set.
And he's going bananas over there. He's going crazy. So, oh, boy, you got to be kidding me. All right. Well, here was my tiebreaker question. Just so who is the all-time home run leader for right fielders?
Ooh, right fielders. Wow. We talking juicing or no juicing?
We're talking gotta go in Sammy. History of baseball.
Oh, Sammy Sosa.
We got to go with Hank Aaron.
I am an idiot.
And who was right behind? Who was right behind him? They're the two members in the 700 Club.
Oh, Barry Bonds.
Babe Ruth.
Babe Ruth. I'm an idiot. Barry Bonds is a left fielder. And it's been a long day, Coach. Bear with me here. Huh? No, you played in left too.
All right. Barry Bonds is in left field. Who is in the center? Who's playing center field tomorrow? I don't know. First base. But who holds the record for center fielders?
Oh, Willie Mays.
Ken Griffey Jr.
You're making me look bad after a win. It might as well not even happen. This is why we do this.
Well, once
now,
you get me looking up,
we're going to listen to our show, and I look like a moron. Thank you.
But
that's why we do it, Coach.
We don't shy away from the hard questions.
I know. And as someone who looks up baseball trivia all day, something's going to slip through the crack. Unfortunately, these are pretty obvious ones. So that one's on me.
I mean, they're not pretty obvious. I mean, the obvious is one. Who holds the longest hitting streak in baseball? Everybody knows that.
Yeah, Jolton Joe.
Okay, who played the most games without taking a break? Everybody knows that.
My favorite non-Cub, Cal Ripken Jr.
Who holds the major league record for most wins?
Cy Young. Everybody and the most that. Losses.
And everybody knows that, too. So we got to get away from that. I mean, like, who did Hank Aaron's home run record break? Who did Hank Aaron's home run record did he break? Babe Ruth. I mean, so we stay away from
who did Hank Aaron hit his 715th home run off of?
Al Downing. But that's another easy one.
There you
one.
Go. I still think that's an obvious one, but I'm just making sure you're on your toes. So. You've been busy at school all day, so... And by the way, I know nobody else can see this. Man, that office is looking good. Now, one of these days, I want us to do a show where we talk about some memorabilia. We haven't had a chance to do that. And I'm just, you know, I've got autographed baseballs and cards all over the house. So maybe we should do that one of these days.
You know, don't give away the stash there, buddy, because someone might be hearing you talking about some of those baseball cards and the memorabilia in that little kingdom over there, you know, they're worth some money. You got to worry what you're saying here, buddy.
No, they can't find them. I have them hidden away. They will never find them.
We got to pull up the floorboards, right?
Yeah, no kidding.
So, I mean, but once again, don't worry, Braves fans. They're going to bounce back. They got two games with the Yankees. They're, you know, and then they'll be fine. We got to give them a chance to do it. They're on a road trip. We'll see what happens when they come back. But once again,
40 games, people. Don't worry about it.
When we get to 40, then we'll have an idea.
Exactly. Coach, good times right there. Everybody enjoy the games this week. That's exactly what I'm going to do right now. I think I'm going to make some pizza and probably watch a ton of baseball and call it a night.
And you've been listening to the Who's on First Base Baseball Podcast with the coach, Carl DeMasi, and, of course, the baseball fanatic, Kyle Lawson. And it's all presented by Coach's Corner. We're all part of the Coach's Corner Sports Network, where it's all sports all the time. It's all sports, food, and fun since 1991. So make sure you get over to Coach's Corner and support John Henderson. And you know what? Besides sports, which is the center of the sports universe, you also can listen to some good music out in the Soundgarden. So check out coachescorner.net. Well, like I say every week, Kyle, whatever you're doing today, whatever you're doing tomorrow, always hit it out of the park. And until we speak to you next week, may be your best week ever. We're out of here. Mask up, wash those hands, social distance, and God bless.
Take care, everybody.